planet Earth, wherever you are in the United States of America. Welcome to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We have been giving you, through a variety of media, and I mean both the printed page in terms of books and articles, I mean the internet, I mean social media, web pages, podcasting. I mean, I can't remember how many different podcasting venues we're on. If you go to paulmcguire.us, you'll see a lot. And I don't know what a lot is. Maybe 20 of the ones we feel that are not going to, like, put up a giant red wall of China, and they're not going to erect the Berlin Wall, not deconstruct the Berlin Wall, but erect the Berlin Wall between a free people and a communist, Marxist, humanist, and slave people. Do you know that on the Paul McGuire Report, I get on a regular basis, I get notifications from a number of the biggest social media companies who regularly take me down, censor me, suppress me, make me disappear from the search engines, make me disappear from the algorithms, so that, you know, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, if you typed in my name, or if you typed in Paul McGuire Ministries or Paradise Mountain Church, 5 years ago, there would be, I would be like on Google 15 pages deep of almost exclusively listings that referred to me, Paul McGuire. I'll call myself the real Paul McGuire, the real Paul McGuire, the work that I do and the books that I do. And there might have been a few others that were not me, that were interspersed. But you see, what happened was the global corporate media complex, which seems to be on a date with the military-industrial complex because they're holding hands and smooching in the moonlight on a park bench, they are working together, and included in that partnership, and it was referenced by several of our presidents, was the military-industrial complex. But if you expand on that definition, it's not just the military-industrial complex. It's not just the internet digital complex. It's more than that. It's a coming together, a linking together, where the primary weapon, whether it's weapons of mass destruction or silent sound weapons or stealth biological warfare weapons or whatever kind of weapon it is, they, ever since their narrative collapsed, you see, they created this mythological history of what was history and fake news about what was happening in our nation. And I don't know if they plan for this to happen or not, because they're not stupid people. They're very, very clever people, serpent-like in their nature. You know, like the wiles of the devil, which means the strategies, the schemes of the devil. So their narrative, their fake news story about what was happening everywhere across our nation, every major news event, every major event of chaos, all of those events, they were either in partnership with, contributing with, or distorting, mutilating the so-called pseudo-news coverage of any of it. And so, in order to survive, because when you're telling lies, you have to spend a lot more money, hire much larger staffs, and ultimately you end up working far harder than when you're telling the truth. You see, because when you're telling lies about everything, and you historical revisionism is a fancy word for reinterpreting history through the lens of lying. So you take any given subject, whether it's economics, whether it's big pharma, whether it's medicine, whether it's vaccinations, the economy, inflation, the prospect of World War III, what is happening in our nation sociologically, and why is it really happening, and on and on and on. What happened was, you know that old expression, and you've seen it happen. Let's be honest. Let's not deceive ourselves. We have all of us, including me, at one time or another, we have been guilty of telling a lie. Well, it may have been a little white lie, or it may have been just a flat-out lie. It may have been what we would call a harmless lie. You may have even told a lie, and I'm not making this, I'm not giving you theological approval, but we have all been guilty of this at one time or another, where we tell a lie, but we tell ourselves as we tell a lie to somebody, we're telling them this lie because we're trying not to hurt them and wound them. Now, I'll give you a simple illustration. Don't accuse me of the sexist thing. Not that you would, because most of you don't traffic in that language. But most of you, it's usually, not all the time, but usually a woman, a wife, a girlfriend, or whatever, might drop a hint or directly ask, how do I look in this outfit? Have I gained weight? Well, usually it has to do with whether or not you've gained weight. And you don't want to hurt their feelings. You really don't. And maybe they have lost weight, but they haven't, they haven't lost a lot of weight. So you lie. Now, we all know what the rationalizations are for the lie. That doesn't necessarily justify it, but you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You see, there I went trying to justify it. And no, I'm not talking about my personal household. I'm talking about male and female relationships in America in general. So do I look like I've gained weight in this or whatever? So let's be honest. When somebody asks you that question, male or female, their weight the following month and the following month may have been, in terms of a scale, exactly the same each month. But for whatever reason, the question is coming up now, do I look like I've gained weight? And secretly, in your mind, through your perception, you're saying to yourself, yes, you've gained weight, but I can't say that because it'll hurt your feelings, and things will not go well for us. That part, of course, is never said. But so what's the problem? Well, the reality is, and this is something that we all know, certain clothing outfits, men's clothes, women's clothes, suits, or women's clothes, suits, or whatever, certain clothes, certain patterns, certain cuts, and definitely certain colors can make us look like we're quite a bit thinner and we've lost weight, or they can make us look like we're quite a bit heavier and that we've gained weight. Now, that's just flat out the way it is, and you know it, and I know it. So the person may be asking you the question, and technically, they may not have gained actual pounds in weight, but they look a lot heavier because they're wearing the wrong color or the wrong outfit or whatever. And everybody in the entertainment business knows this. Actresses, actors know this. I know it myself, okay? Because people feel, when they call somebody like me, they feel like they can tell them anything. That's okay. And they can tell them anything, and that's fine. But they will also reverse it on you. They'll ask you questions that they wouldn't ask somebody in a normal social circus, Freudian slip circle. And so people in the entertainment business, actors, actresses, and the rest of them know what you wear, the colors, are critical in making you look thinner or heavier or whatever. I'll give you an example. I was speaking somewhere, and I happened to wear the color black a lot. A dress black shirt, dress black pants, black shoes. I do that intentionally and strategically, not because I'm vain, but because I was in the film business and the entertainment business and the PR business and the promotional business. And so you develop a heightened perception, even though it's not really something you're into, you develop a heightened perception. And so this person said to me, they raised their hands because I always would take Q&A at Paradise Mountain Church. The people who came to Paradise Mountain Church knew me, got to know me. I was available to talk to, you know, and stuff like that. So the person raised, and people would raise their hand and ask questions in front of everybody. So they said to me, Paul, you know, this was in a conference of crying out loud. Paul, we noticed that you wear black a lot, like all black clothing a lot. And then they go, are you a Satanist or a Luciferian? Which, of course, is ridiculous because my books expose that. I'd say a huge percentage of the content of my books actually expose that. No, I'm not a Luciferian and I'm not a Satanist. And I said to them simply, I wear black a lot for two reasons. Number one, and I'm not anorexic and I don't have a phobia with this, but number one is because I do so much media and I do so many thousands of hours of video and television broadcasting on so many different platforms that, and people in the entertainment business know this also, that when you're shot on video, when you're shot on television and film, etc., whatever weight you are, you will usually look quite a bit heavier on screen, on the video, on TV, on film, or whatever. You will usually look heavier. There's a technical reason why that happens. I don't know what the technical reason is. But you have to anticipate that when you're wearing an outfit. You can't look in the mirror and say, "Oh, I look good." You know, everything's fine. Because that's not how you're going to come across on the video or the film screen or whatever. However you looked in real life via a mirror, you're going to gain a lot of weight just by going on video camera or film camera. You're going to gain many pounds. So you've got to compensate for that proactively before you actually do the shoot. So I said, that's why I wear black, because I do a lot of film and television and video, and black is a color that will make you look thinner, okay? Some people don't want to hear that. I don't care whether they want to hear it or not. This is what I do for a living. They are amateurs looking on from a distance. And then I said, number two is, because my schedule is so rigorous and demanding at times, where I'm going through nights with no sleep or days and nights with little or no sleep, and I'm traveling from nation to nation or state to state, and the schedule is insane. And so, you know, despite the fact that I try to adhere to nutrition and things like that, you start to get a wasted, and being a white guy, and I don't care whether you are upset that I said I'm a white guy. I'm a white guy. What do you want me to say that I'm something else? I'm not. That's who I am. I don't apologize for it. But white people, or many of us white people, when we get tired and stuff, we go from white to kind of like a deathly and even kind of like a sickly pale look. No, that's don't be defensive. But in my case, it's true. If I disappointed you, I apologize. But the point is that because we're light-skinned, if we're tired, if we're sick, run down, we're not sleeping for whatever reason, we have a tendency of looking sickly and pale, okay? So once again, you have to be proactive because it really amplifies itself when you show up on camera or film or video. And so the safest color choice are dark colors. They will bring you, they'll energize you. Like black will when it's in juxtaposition with a white face, it'll give the white face energy and color. You know, so you look like you're not a character from Night of the Living Dead or something. So those are just two of the reasons why I wear black a lot. It makes me look trim. It makes me look younger. It makes me look more revitalized. And that's just part of of learning, the learning curve in the film business and in the video business and stuff like that. So that's why I do that. Now, and no, I'm not a Satanist. No, thank God, I never was a Satanist. So these things are principles that anybody who's in any profession, we all, in whatever profession we're in, from truck driver to waitress to Hollywood or television cameraman or whatever, you have got to look your best, and you've got to look like, you know, you're stepping up your game, because that helps employment and everything else. Now, having said that, I want to move into the bigger question here, and that is, what is happening now in the United States of America in light of, let's just call them, formidable significant realities, or an expression I used to use all the time, and I still do. We need to pay attention when we see the flashing red warning lights or yellow warning lights, the digital warning lights on the dashboard of our car. Because from personal experience, I have ignored those. I haven't addressed them promptly. And almost 100% of the time, sooner or later, if I don't take care of what those flashing warning lights represent, I pay a bitter price and penalty. You know, like the time many years ago when an American car that I had, still under warranty, the engine fried, it blew up. And then after it blew up from overheating, when I say blow up, I don't mean explode. I mean, it got so hot that the engine locked and the engine was worthless and you couldn't drive it. Yeah, but guess what? I was given a warning light for a long while. I chose to ignore it. And a number of things have happened like that. Okay, so you and I right now are driving down the highway of life. Okay? And stuff is whizzing by, or if you're stuck in a traffic jam, it's not whizzing by, but it's passing you by. And if you look at the warning lights, the one or two warning lights that are flashing or turned on your dashboard, usually indicated by little yellow or red lights, they're telling you that you need to take care of something important in your car or you're going to have a significant problem. So we are all driving down the highway of life, especially here in America. And the vast majority of us, that includes religious people and Christians, etc., the vast majority of us are ignoring the flashing warning lights telling us there's danger ahead. We're pretending those warning lights are not on. And pretending the warning lights are not on is simply going into a mental disconnect. Or what they say in psychological circles, entering a state of cognitive dissonance. That means you separate your mind, your perception, your reality, and your intelligence. You separate it from what's really happening physically in your physical real world reality. So in effect, you enter a semi-illusory world of reality, or almost a hypnotic view of reality. Bottom line, you're out of it. And because you're out of it, you're not noticing that danger is coming to you, your family, and your world. And you have got to know what those lights are telling you. And then you got to do what you can before God. And you got to do what you can using wisdom and the mind of Christ. You got to do what you can, you have to take care of business so that you can survive, so that you can overcome, so that you can be victorious in the spiritual warfare that we're all in. So that's where we are in America right now. So we're driving down the highway of life, but we're moving forward. In fact, we've already entered the future. And so the warning lights can't be taken as an interpretation in which you walk away from looking at the warning lights and saying, oh, I'm okay, nothing's happening now. And you think it gives you a justification to do nothing as long as the car, there's not steam or smoke coming out of the hood of your car. Well, that's not the point of warning lights. The point of warning lights is that it motivates you to be proactive, to take care of the problem before the problem goes postal on you. It's supposed to help you solve a problem ahead of the game. Very important concept. So the critical thing here is that as we're driving down the highway of life and we move deeper into the future, all of the things that the warning lights have been warning us about, they didn't go away. They have been steadily and incrementally growing in threat, growing in danger, and growing in their potential to inflict serious harm upon us and our loved ones. The warning lights are not stagnant. And so we're moving down the highway of life with an ever-increasing, ever-accelerating set of adversarial circumstances all around us, that every minute that goes by that we ignore the lights, the warning lights, is just another minute that the danger, the pressure continues to build until it will reach a critical mass point where something very bad will happen. And that's simply a principle of life. You can't ignore that. Now, you add to that the fact that God loves us, and God will, in addition to your earthly warning lights, God will speak to you in a still small voice. He'll speak to you through men and women he raises up, legitimate pastors, people with prophetic ministries, researchers, authors, speakers, whoever has the knowledge, and his Holy Spirit. God will warn you ahead of time. And so you're supposed to take advantage of that warning. So now we see on the horizon things that we did not see clearly, visibly on the horizon a number of years ago. And so we don't need to go find a quote prophet who had a vision or a dream or took an escalator up to heaven and Jesus met him at the top of the escalator. That's not what we really need to do. We need to do our homework, use our minds, know what's going on, pay attention to the warning lights, both natural and supernatural, and then take intelligent, proactive action to prepare, to be prepared, so that we might survive, so that we might overcome. So what is on the horizon now that is growing closer and closer? Okay. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. History, when we study history, not revisionist history, not social engineering history, when we study real history, we know that there are these reoccurring principles and reappearing principles that are cyclical in the history of mankind. So the famous expression kind of says it all. Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So if you have studied history, or if you've studied history through the lens of my books or whoever's, if you've studied history, you're aware of numerous patterns that keep reoccurring. And if you've studied history, you have already been educated and prepared to know what is coming down the road in the relatively near future, because you're aware of the historical patterns. So we discussed one the other day, and I want to briefly touch on it. Throughout history, and especially in the last, well, especially since before World War I and then World War II, and now I would say technically, maybe unofficially, we've entered World War III. And in these wars, in all of these wars, and those wars would include the Bolshevik or Russian Communist Revolution, the Chinese Communist Revolution. But in all of these historical precedents, we see that the global economic system, our national economic system, at one point or another, entered troubled waters, and the early beginnings of a economic crisis began to generate, began to take hold of our nation and other nations. And this is always rooted in this fact. The global economic system in America and the world is ruled by approximately 20 super trillionaire families that essentially rule the world. They are also referred to as the 1% because they only represent 1% of the population, but they own 99% of all the wealth and the assets and the money. In addition, they only represent, again, 1% of the population, but they are in control of, they have enslaved, and they rule over the remaining 99% of the population underneath them. Now, because this goes back to ancient Babylon and it has a great deal to do with the Mystery Babylon religion, which was formed in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel and at the time of Nimrod and Semiramis. The Mystery Babylon religions actually began before that. They began in Chaldea and some other nations. So, let's review this. And by the way, I keep saying this because I'm trying to educate you. I'm trying to help you educate the people you know, because knowledge is power. And if you have knowledge, you will not be victimized and you will not be enslaved. And God forbid that you ignore me and the few of us who are speaking truth. God forbid that because you ignored us, you ignored the flashing lights. God forbid that when the day is done, sometime down the road in the future, if the Lord should tarry, you end up in a re-education camp, which is just an oblique word for a concentration camp. To be brainwashed, to be re-educated by a communist, Marxist, occult elite that has now taken total control of the nation. Don't ask. Don't you dare ask. How did this happen? Don't you dare ask, why did this happen? Because God had been sending people into your life for decades trying to warn you and explain to you what was going to happen and why it was going to happen. But you, I'm not picking on anybody, but you chose with an act of your will repeatedly to ignore the warnings, to ignore the warnings of the watchmen, to ignore the flashing lights. You chose with an act of your will to shut down those voices. And not only did you shut those voices down from your life, you mocked them, you ridiculed them, that you called them all kinds of names like conspiracy theorists. Okay, so be it. Now, God forbid, but we're many years in the future and you're in a concentration camp where you are serving the state with your slave labor, or if you can't meet the quota, you will die. And that is the fate of your life until the day you die. But my admonishment to you is, and I mean this in love, I really do, or, you know, if someone loves somebody else in the love of Jesus Christ, that person is going to tell you the truth so that your life might be rescued, saved, and healed. It is the people who pretend to love you, but in reality who are lying. Their fake soothing words, their lies that they speak to you, are the very things that are going to lead you into a locked concentration camp. You think I'm making this up? Look at the historical pattern. Whenever the occult elite, globalist elite, Luciferian elite, monetary elite, whenever the ruling class, the people with all the money and power, whenever they come to power, they go down essentially the same road. They become spiritually deluded. They think they're gods. They think they have some kind of divine genetic right to rule over your life and your children's lives. And then they abuse their power to program you and force you to be their slaves, subjugate you to live in captivity, and then send you off to some re-education camp. And they believe they're gods. They don't believe in absolutes, like an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They believe, I've read what they have said thousands of times. I've picked some of the best quotes that they've made publicly, and I've put them in my books so you could read them and understand what they're saying to you in a quick manner. And I promise you that when you read the quotes that I've put in my books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, The Day the Dollar Died, Power from On High, and the other books, when you read what these elite men have said, it will shake you to your core. Because you're going to read from their own mouths, their own words, and these are not obscure people, they're the most powerful people in the world. They are telling you exactly what they have planned for you in the future. And make no mistake about it, one of the things of historical knowledge is history also teaches us that these elite men and women who gain control of absolute power, they almost always will come out and tell you exactly what they plan to do to you before they do it. They'll write it in the form of books, they'll speak it in speeches, they'll write articles, they'll say it at rallies, they'll publish it in magazines. They are not hiding one iota their plan, their philosophy, and their belief system. And so it is part of their code, if you could call it a code, it's part of their code to tell you in advance, in great detail, precisely what they are going to do to America, the world, you, your family, and all the people of planet Earth. They tell you up front. And that you need to understand that that's an historical, that in and of itself is an historical lesson. Everything Adolf Hitler, the head Nazi, did, everything, he told the world before he did it what he was going to do precisely and exactly and how he was going to do it. What Adolf Hitler did, the Holocaust and the atrocities and everything else, it should have been as to no surprise what he was going to do, because he told people in advance what he was going to do, because in prison he wrote his ultimate book called Mein Kampf. And in Mein Kampf, Hitler spelled out in great detail what he planned to do. And that included the mass Holocaust, where he was going to, and did, slaughter over 35 million people, both Jews and non-Jews. He sent them to gas chambers and killed them. He sadistically had his psychotic doctors experiment on them while they were living in the most horrible cruelty. And he sent them by the millions into the gas chambers. And he sent them into the concentration camps, where he put their bodies alive and put them in giant ovens and to burn them alive. He burned them alive in the baking hot ovens. And he did other atrocities. None of this should have been a surprise, because he said he was going to do it. Notice something, though. Hitler and all of his top generals, his top propaganda people, all of Hitler's top scientists, they were all Satanists, Luciferians, deeply involved in the occult, members of secret occult secret societies like Thule and other secret societies, the swastika, the other Nazi symbols, the lightning bolt symbols of the SS troops. Those were all hardcore occult symbols. Oh, skull and bones that the SS troops wore for large belt buckles and insignias on their lapels and on their military caps. They wore these silver skull and bones. Now, history is shouting at us right now. Can we hear history speak to us? And although history may be shouting at us, God is calling his servants to blow the shofar, the trumpet of warning. And God is speaking to his people through his word, through history, and through his still small voice. And I want you to notice with me some amazing parallels. First of all, the globalist financial elite, they secretly were also members of these Luciferian and satanic secret societies. And they finance them, like Skull and Bones, like the Thule Society, like the Vril Society. And they consorted, the Nazis consorted and trafficked in demon power, supernatural power, occult powers of all kinds. They were practitioners of the occult to the highest degrees, which included human sacrifice, human blood sacrifices. Notice that today, the Luciferian elite, the satanic elite, continues to finance and to be members of the occult secret societies. Everything from the Illuminati to the same Skull and Bones that Hitler and the Nazis were part of. Our elite, our financial elite, are deeply involved in the occult, and our military elite are all part of these secret occult societies, as well as major politicians and economists, et cetera, et cetera. So we see Skull and Bones, which, by the way, everybody knows is a symbol of death. It's also the pirate symbol. Skull and Bones is also the symbol for the Skull and Bones Society at Harvard, of which the Bush family were all members of the Nazi Skull and Bones Occult Society, Secret Society. And John Kerry is a member of the Occult Secret Society. So there's a warning right there. Notice also that the financial elite were the ones that heavily financed Adolf Hitler. They heavily financed the Communist Revolution. And in fact, it was Wall Street and the Bush family and other very high-rolling financiers and trillionaire banking families. They were the bankers for Adolf Hitler. They financed his military machine. And is it any wonder? Because they were part of the same occult satanic religion, and they were part of the same agenda. They both wanted all these different occult secret society groups in America and Nazi Germany and other places. They all wanted to formalize and build and create the New World Order. Adolf Hitler wrote a book on the New World Order. And his goal was to make the Fourth Reich of the Nazis the government of the New World Order. So these men also, the Fabian Socialists, the British intellectuals who were secretly hardcore occultists, they did everything they could to promote this New World Order. And they came out and said that many of the greatest and most famous and most prolific intellectuals in the British secret occult societies, and that would include Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist, 666, they openly said in their books, in their speeches, and in interviews, they openly said over and over again that any intelligent man or woman today, we are well above such primitive concepts as moral absolutes, such as a moral absolute right and a moral absolute wrong. We're above all that, which is Satanism. And we are free to do what we please because we have the power to do it. And that in itself is good. In other words, they were calling good evil and evil good. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Join us. We are on a mission, and I believe it's a winnable war, where with the help of God, the help of God's people, relying on knowledge and power and strategy and prayer and spiritual warfare, I believe God has given us an opportunity to turn the spiritual battle around to whatever degree he allows us to. But in order to do that, we're going to need knowledge, intelligence, and we're going to have to strategically and proactively be prepared, understand what is coming down the road of life, and be prepared for it before it actually materializes. That is our job. That is how we can be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now, most Christians in America and the European Union and the United States are well, to be kind of blunt about it, they would be, they're revealed. The American Christians, for the most part, are the same kinds of Christians found in the Book of Revelation when it comes to the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was guilty before Jesus Christ of not being hot or cold, but because they were spiritually lukewarm, Jesus Christ said that because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Very strong words. And the Laodicean church was not only lukewarm, which made them impotent in the spiritual battle, the Laodicean church was also, they had lost their spiritual vision. Now, this is very important to understand, especially in the light of history. They had lost their spiritual vision, which means they lost their ability to actually see what was happening all around them. They lost their vision to actually see what was coming, what was racing towards them in the near future. And because they had lost their spiritual vision, they were blind to the things of God, and they were blind to the imminent danger they were in terms of spiritual warfare and literally nothing less than a demonic takeover of planet Earth. But they couldn't see it. Now, what church in the Book of Revelation is the most closely akin to the Laodicean church? I would suggest to you that the Laodicean church is a precursor of the Galatian church, the lukewarm church found in the Book of Revelation. Because in America today, most Christians are Laodicean Christians. They're lukewarm. They're apathetic. They're slothful. They're indifferent. And they seem to not care that Jesus perceives their dire spiritual condition as something that would cause him to vomit them out of his mouth. In addition to that, the Laodicean church has lost its spiritual vision. It's gone blind, and therefore it's paralyzed in the spiritual battle because it cannot see what's happening. So, the Bible also says, without a vision, my people perish. Jesus Christ, the Supreme Being, tells us in the Word of God that without a vision, without the ability to see not only physically, clearly, in the physical realm, but also without a spiritual vision for the future, without a prophetic vision of what God has in mind for your life and my life and for the world and for America, without a spiritual vision, God says, my people will perish. So we have a double header here coming towards America at high speed. And the double header is telling us that, number one, our lukewarm spiritual condition has functioned like a demonic sedative or tranquilizer. It has made us docile and spiritually impotent and in a hypnotic social engineering state where we have been rendered, we've been paralyzed from clear thinking and clear strategic action. That doesn't cut it in an all-out spiritual war in the last days. And then, because the American church and much of the church in Europe has lost its spiritual vision, it cannot see clearly what is happening as we whiz down the highway of life. It is unable to perceive the radical and threatening changes that are rising all around us, as well as because we've lost our vision, we can't see that the flashing red lights and yellow lights on the dashboard of our car are indicating to us that there is a high probability, a high potentiality that we could be soon entering some kind of formidable World War III scenario in which an all-out military encounter between Russia, the Ukraine, maybe France, the European Union, Russia, the United States of America, and other nations will enter a military flashpoint and potentially ignite World War III in this Ukrainian-Russian conflict. But we can't see it clearly. Nor can we see clearly that what happened in Israel recently with their attack and the ferocity of the attack and the tension in the Middle East and the desire by the Muslim nations to destroy Israel and to drive Israel into the sea is not a stagnant geopolitical fixture, but it's something that's heating up. It's something that is moving towards, again, another igniting of World War III. And then on top of that, if and when these wars break out regarding the nations I mentioned and other nations like Germany, you're going to have a major international disruption of the shipping of food, the shipping of medicine, electronics, all kinds of things that are manufactured in nations like China and Japan and other nations, cars. The shipping lanes are going to be interrupted. The giant ocean-going vessels that carry these massive cargo containers destined for the various ports in the United States of America, like the Port of Long Beach, etc., they will be interrupted by enemy ships just outside the international waterline off the coasts of America. The shipping imports, the shipping exports will be interrupted by all those cargo-containing ships coming in from China and other nations. And this will disrupt the flow of money or capital into America. It will disrupt the flow of critical medicines, critical supplies, and critical food supplies coming into America and coming out of America. So you now have international chaos involving a major blockage of food supplies, energy supplies, oil supplies, every kind of supply necessary for a decent standard of living is now in the threat zone. And this is serious stuff, because what happened before were all these hundreds and hundreds of giant ships were stuck off the coasts of America, and they couldn't bring in their supplies and they couldn't export supplies for a long time. And the cargo containers were just stuck out there. Well, if a world war scenario is ignited, you can magnify the giant sea vessels carrying hundreds of cargo containers. You can multiply and magnify the amount of socioeconomic destruction, food supply interruption, the interruption of the flow of capital going out of America and into America, and you have thrown the world into the worst cauldron of chaos in the history of mankind. Because now you're no longer playing games. You have ignited World War III. And World War III moves into a steady progression, as we know, which will eventually lead to the rising of Antichrist, the false prophet, the establishment of a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system, formerly called the New World Order, formerly birthed in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, and now in our time, the New World Order has been rebranded and renamed and remarketed and repackaged as the Great Reset, which is nothing more than the return of ancient Babylon, except this time it's with the energy of AI, artificial intelligence, the computer cybernetic revolution, digital totalitarian dictatorships, a wireless currency where the electromagnetic frequency signal is bouncing off the hundreds or thousands of new satellites in outer space, and then hitting our 5G and soon to be 6G cell towers on the ground in America and across the world. And then, whether people realize it or not, a massive percentage of Americans and people all around the world, I'm speaking the truth to you in love. I'm not speaking the truth to you to frighten you. I'm trying to educate you so you can step up your game and be proactive. There are things you can do about it. But the reality is you have been bombarded with highly powered toxins and chemicals have passed your blood-brain barrier, and they've entered your bloodstream through things like chemtrails, vaxes, the food supply, the water supply. Your body is filled with radioactive materials from things like Fukushima. Your body and brain are filled with things like graphene oxide, which turns your body into a broadcasting antenna and a receiving antenna. Your body, brain, system, and mind system has been infused with microscopic, self-evolving nanobot technologies, or to put it really simple, super, super, super microscopic, smaller than ever before, nanobots have entered your bloodstream, your brain, and your body through a variety of different stealth mechanisms, like weather modification coming from chemtrails, from the different numerical frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies being generated by 5G cell phone towers, water supply, food supply, insects, and so on and so forth. And you have to understand that this is, nobody's making up a science fiction horror novel for you, okay? You got to understand this. You're listening to me. It's great that some of you are skeptical. I'm very skeptical. I don't say stuff unless I've researched it and cross-researched it, because I have a very high level of concern that if I just spout off some stupid thing because I heard it somewhere, I lose my leverage. And my leverage comes from my willingness to speak the educated truth and to have integrity in what I say, not just to spout off some wacko nut job, you know, theory. So I meticulously research from, by the way, quite frankly, a position of great skepticism, great cynicism. I read a lot of stuff and I flat out don't believe it. But I'll tell you what, a surprising number of the amount of times I do deep dive research on these subjects, many of them turn out to be wacko job type things. But many of them, to my surprise, turn out to be 100% factual. So we already know, because I did a program on this for you to educate you, we already know that the components that have been infused in your body, which, by the way, I'm sorry to break it to you, but when you are associating with people who have gotten the vaccine, they are, for a significant period of time, their bodies, in response to their getting the vaccine, their bodies actually begin to shed the vaccine into the air. And if you're sitting near them or being near them or associating with them, don't believe the big Nazi Hitlerian lie that the people that are the dangerous people are those people that did not get the vaccine. Those are not the dangerous people. They're the safe people. The propaganda machine wants to lie to you and tell you that those people who did not get the vaccine are a threat because they're going to spread it to other people. That is a lie. That is a social engineering, psychological warfare propaganda lie. The truth of the matter is, the greatest danger of the vaccine to spread to other people, besides injection, the jab, and the vax, and the food, and the air, and stuff, the greatest threat comes from people who have gotten the vaccine And now their bodies are shedding the vaccine. In other words, the vaccinated shed the ingredients, if you will, the particles of the vaccine. And if you're living and associating with them, you may have not gotten the vaccine, but you are in danger of getting the vaccine because their bodies know that the vaccine is toxic, and therefore their bodies actually begin to shed the microscopic particles and chemicals in the vaccine. And if you're physically near them, your body or lungs or nose or whatever will absorb the toxic vaccine that they're shedding. Now, if you don't believe me, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you do your research, and that means you look at reliable sources, pro and con. Now, I want to say one thing, and then we'll be right back. Because for many years, I have been telling the truth, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, but for decades, from my teens, I have been speaking the truth to power. That's how I was raised. I've been speaking the truth. I've been exposing the hidden works of darkness even before I was a Christian. I'm not a Johnny-come-lately. And all the things that are happening now, I warned about decades in advance in all my books. I think there's 46 books by now. I warned about all this stuff decades in advance. And the books have copyright dates on them, so you can see that long before all these people, you know, we got an army of Johnny-come-lately podcasters and social media people. Hey, good for them that they're out there. But you know what? They need to spend a little less time blabbing and a lot more time researching, because when you listen intently on what they're saying, and I thank God that they're at least beginning to say something, their research, their hunt for scientific, historical, spiritual evidence is shallow. It's weak. And that's because they're trying to fake being experts when in reality they just jumped in the game. Some of them, many of them, most of them in the last 2 or 3 years. If we're going to win this war, we have to have powerful truth. Powerful truth is that truth which is true truth. So, I've been doing this a long time, and I recognize, as do a few others, I recognize the importance of being factual, doing your homework, verification, investigation, and research, and things like that. That will make or break you, and it will make or break whether we win or are victorious in this, what I call in my book, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We're in it. Right now, we're in it. Make no mistake about it, we're in it. And if you're bothered by something I said, good. But its purpose is to motivate you to do some homework for yourself. And if you do that, you'll discover, and I have this in my books for you to read, you'll discover that you're not a victim. There are things that you can do. And you know, one of the things that is different about the content, the news, the information, the facts that we communicate on the Paul McGuire Report, one of the major things that is different and I believe better than the stuff that is coming out from many other sources, some of which are very questionable. You know, I want to say this really quickly. People better open their eyes. I'm not talking about the mainstream media, which is owned and controlled by the globalist elite. We already know they are children of the lie. You can't believe anything they say. They've completely discredited themselves. I'm talking about the people who claim to be alternative media, conservative media, even Christian media, people who claim to be telling the truth. I'm going to say this directly. But what I'm saying is true. I'm giving you a warning. You need to know that's starting quite a few years ago, going back farther than you think. The people who have the evil globalist agenda, the globalist and Luciferian elite and their instruments of power, they began infiltrating what would eventually become alternative media, conservative media, social media, podcasting, the internet, and all the primarily digital and electronic sources of communication, where we now have tens of thousands of people who are claiming to speak the truth and expose the conspiracies, etc. Christians, especially, but also conservatives, you need to quantumly step up your game and step up your perception and step up your ability to exercise scrutiny. The forces of darkness operating in this world and in this nation have seriously, I'm talking about seriously, infiltrated, penetrated, and have sent in their agents of deception into these new electronic, digital, computer fields of communication, like the entire social media networks and the podcasting networks and the digital networks and the computer networks and other forms of new technological communication. I could name some very famous names. The names that I would name that are very famous names, it's a larger list than what many of you think it is. And some of the people that you are absolutely convinced are truth tellers who you think are telling you the truth, and they're really on the side of the true truth. The fact of the matter is that among that large percentage of people, and it is larger than you think it is, that, don't freak out on me now, I'm telling you the truth, trained agents of deception and communication have for years been incrementally infiltrating everything from talk radio to so-called conservative television to social media to podcasting to everything else. And a lot of these superstars, so-called superstars of, you know, alternative media, many that adorn the front pages of like Rumble and stuff, I happen to know about some of these people. Okay? They're being promoted on the front pages of these alternative, conservative, Christian-friendly social media empires and their podcasting shows and stuff. And many of them have followers and numbers of followers that are in the millions and millions of people. Now, think for a minute. I've been doing this for a long time. There was a time when if you took the aggregate number of the amount of people I was actually and factually reaching, let's say every 6 months, the amount of people who were following me on the internet, listening to me on the radio, watching me on television, and me doing interviews, et cetera, and being on Fox News as a regular guest commentator and CNN before their lunatic days. The actual number of people that I was communicating to was an average of about 11.5 million people every 6 months, and that's an extremely conservative estimate. 11.5 million people. Today, you would think that I'm reaching only a tiny fraction of that amount. Well, the reality is I am definitely reaching far less than I was back then. But I'm also, conversely, reaching far more than most people think I am. Because I don't have all my modalities of communication. I don't reveal information publicly because the ministry owns different things privately. So there's a safety wall there. Now, what happened? What happened was I continued to speak the hard truth, the facts. I continued to expose the darkness, and I didn't conform my content to appease Google or Facebook or anybody else. My goal was to simply speak the truth in love, make sure I have facts to document what I'm saying, to have documentation for what I'm saying, and to speak on those topics which Jesus Christ would command that I would address, topics that are threatening the health, the lives, the ability to make a living, the eternal destiny of millions of people. So what happened was, because of the COVID crisis, there was a radical change in the landscape of social media and many other modes of communication. And so I discovered that as I continued to speak the truth, the more truth I spoke, and the truth I spoke always had documentation, verification, research, investigation. So I knew I was speaking the truth. But the more truth I spoke in love, and I used wisdom in the dispensing of the truth, I found myself being threatened and thrown off of the big social media platforms. I found myself being secretly removed from the search engines by bots, by computer algorithms, by sophisticated computer programs. Remember, when I said 11.5 million people, that was a super, super underestimate of my actual reach. Because for 15 years, maybe 20 years on the internet, I dominated huge segments of the internet. I'm talking about literally dominated my topics, my articles, my programs, my books, my commentaries, my articles. I dominated it for a long, long time. And I dominated it because I developed a proprietary system of electronic and digital distribution of my message, my articles, my videos, my audio, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was able to distribute within 24 hours. I was able to send my material, audio, video, articles, within 24 hours, I was able to send my material directly to the heads of what then were the legitimate conservative, Christian-friendly social media empires. I was able to send my stuff to the top people in those organizations. And by the next morning or that afternoon, many of these people, they were also being discriminated against. Many of these people had regular readers, followers, watchers, listeners of anywhere from 8 million, 10 million, 15 million, 20 million, and occasionally 24 million or above. And they would publish all of my stuff, all of my programs, TV, all of my podcasts, the whole thing. They would print all of my articles. And so I circumvented the Big Brother Orwellian machine and the thought police. But I paid a bitter price for it because I was threatened. I was threatened today. I was threatened, let's see, in the last 2 weeks, I've been threatened 4 times. And I've been taken down big media, social media platforms. But one of the most devious things that is an ongoing attack against me, because remember this axiom, the more truth you tell, and the better and the more effectively you communicate that truth, the more you will be attacked, the more you will be taken down, the more you will be censored, the more you will be blocked, and the more you will be opposed. Those that fake speaking the truth or are only major in speaking the soft truth are left alone. Their numbers are artificially inflated. They're given money under the table and over the table. And they're artificially propped up by the intelligence agencies, governmental agencies, and activist groups, not to mention the big tech artificially promotes them. So, but I made a choice. I don't care if I'm going to speak to five people. I'm going to speak to five people the truth, and I'm going to deal with the life and death and vitally important spiritual matters and physical matters that people need to know about, and to blank with the numbers. So I continue to do that, but because I continue to do that, and because people help me like you, you know, I got an army of followers and listeners, people like you, who help me in many stealth ways. You take my programs, you take my articles, you take the videos and stuff, and you, I used to do this for people all the time, you spread my stuff everywhere, and they can't stop that. See? And so my message gets out there. So I don't end up talking to five people. I end up talking to very large numbers of people. It's just, it's kind of like the Underground Railroad. So I learned that you can't serve two masters. And so, like, I remember making this decision when I was being made overtures by Fox in its glory days to have my own show. You couldn't serve two masters. And I wasn't going to edit my webpage just to make it America, 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 and pseudo-Christian, pseudo-Christian, pseudo-Christian. So they'd roll out the red carpet for me. I wasn't going to do that. I kept the Bible prophecy, and I kept the Bible front and center on the front page of the website and throughout the website. And damn what may come. I'm not going to sell out my Savior. You know? It's not going to happen. But they penalize you for that in many, many ways. Now, let me just remind you of this. There is a large number of infiltrators. They are not who they are pretending to be, or they are those that are sold out. And they get paid for it. When computer systems are artificially expanding your numbers way, way, way beyond what they actually are, when bots and algorithms are artificially inflating the amount of viewers and watchers you have, when all the search engines are rigged to direct the flow of the masses to them. See, there was a time when before they rigged it, you could put it in any vital topic and you'd end up with my name on the front page when you got there because I had done an article mentioning it. So I was saturating the mass digital audience. But now they have rigged the internet, and so they have suppressed, they have electronically and digitally waged war on me because they are automatically suppressing my distribution, my exposure, who I'm reaching, the numbers I have. They're digitally and electronically, through artificial intelligence, it's a really easy thing to do, they're manipulating what people think I'm reaching and stuff. And you say, well, why is this important? Is this your ego hurt? No, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. This has nothing to do with ego. This has everything to do with winning and preserving America and our religious freedoms. Wake up. Let me explain this to you really simply. Many of you already know what I'm going to say. When they inflate your numbers big time, which they do, if you're one of their boys or girls, when they rig the search engines to divert people from you and direct them to sellouts, what the result of that is, all the computers pick up this disinformation, and so disinformation about all these fake podcasters, fake broadcasters, fake video people, fake social media platforms. Many times, the numbers you see of watchers and viewers and likers and stuff has been artificially reduced, you know, to 80%, 83% or more less than what the actual number is. I see this on Rumble just about every day. You think Rumble is just this great thing? I like Rumble. I'll stay on Rumble for when the door is open. But they're manipulating, or I sh- most likely a computer bot, has been manipulating my numerical number of watchers and followers. The Rumble computer system has been manipulating my numbers since probably 3 months after they launched. How do I know? Believe me, I know. I have factual 100% proof of the actual manipulation. And I'm not the only one they're doing it to. Whereas there are so many people that keep it light, keep it fluffy, you know, bang the tambourine, wave the American flag, but don't give any real content that'll rock the boat. They get rewarded and their numbers soar. And then I'll look at people that I know, people that have far larger audiences than I have, okay, in real life. But because they're telling the hard truth, because they're not selling out on the content, Rumble's playing the same game with them. And these guys talk about it openly on the air. They are exposing what's being done to them as I am. Now, the hidden agenda about why they're doing this, this is the important thing, is that all the computers, all the companies make an appraisal about your content. Is it politically correct? And they make an appraisal based on how many numbers of followers and likers and watchers and listeners you have. And if they believe that the number of watchers and listeners and likers you have is too low, they either won't advertise on you. Well, no, they won't advertise on you. And then the other thing they will do, and all the big corporations do this because big tech has organized it. You'll get a notice, like I've gotten this notice many times. Google will send me a notice like they did 2 days ago. Our advertisers don't believe that, you know, your programming content, I'm paraphrasing, that your programming content is something that would work well with their products, businesses, and services. In other words, the big corporations are not going to advertise on you because they don't want you telling the truth about stuff. Okay? And then if they did like your content, they're not going to advertise on you because the computers are saying that your numbers are too low. Now, the numbers too low is a product of their rigging, and the stuff about the big corporations don't like your content, that's based on all these big globalist corporations are getting their report card on you about whether you're going to, you know, promote vaccines and whether or not you're going to promote GM foods. As long as you're talking the party line, you're a good old boy, you'll get a pat on the back. And then they will reward you with big bucks through advertising dollars. Okay? So the way they keep the system rigged is they artificially prop up and artificially finance big money. If you have big numbers, you can get some big money as long as you sell out on your content. And so you will see these strange things, like people that I know are not reaching even a fraction of the people that the computer says they're reaching. I know they're not. So why do they have such large numbers? Because they're playing the game. They're playing the game. And I think it was today or yesterday, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal released a report talking about the fact that Fauci and Gates and Big Pharma and the World Health Organization and all these other groups that are promoting the vaccine, okay, they went around to churches, evangelical churches, born-again churches especially. They went around to all these churches in America before they rolled out the vaccine, and they paid them, money, money, money on the table. The big health, big pharma, vaccination people, Fauci, Gates, they went around, met with the big evangelical organizations, the evangelical denominations, and they paid them big, big money, sometimes in the millions and millions of dollars. And then they, of course, then lead all the smaller churches and ministries. And they paid them big money as long as they would promote the vaccine, promote the jab, or at the very least, that they would not oppose it, and they would not expose it, and they would not be negative about the vaccine. So here you have, this is not like guesswork. This is from the Wall Street Journal, and I could name the names of these giant Christian organizations. These are like, the average Christian, the average pastor thinks that these big evangelical organizations are literally the stamp of credibility, when in fact, I'm not going to name them by name, but the Wall Street Journal did. They're the big evangelical born-again organizations that took big, big, big money to promote the vaccine or not say anything negative about it or not expose it. So that's out in the open. But what you can't see as clearly as that, because that's money on the table. It's the money under the table. It's the and on the table. It's the advertising dollars. So what all this does is it gives the globalist elite what they wanted in the first place, a total digital totalitarian dictatorship where they can control with an absolute artificial intelligence fist. They control the narrative, they control what's a fact and what's not a fact. They control people's minds, what they think and what they don't think. And when push comes to shove, they are the instruments of Mystery Babylon, and they gain their power because, sadly to say, a huge percentage of those in places of power in the evangelical, born-again communities, Christian communities, et cetera, et cetera. They're in bed with the devil. They're in bed with the whore of Babylon. Now, I can't do that. I don't claim to be a saint. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace like everybody else. But I'm not going to use this platform. I mean, I get threat letters constantly. I get kicked off constantly. And then I have to try to negotiate to get back on. But you see, I'm on their list, the list of people that are not going along with their Nazi program. You understand what I'm saying? The other people are on the list of, well, you're good little Nazis. You're marching in goose step. So we're going to reward you. We're going to finance you. So you ask yourself the question, why do certain people have large followings, massive cash flow, favorable exposure anywhere where their appearance on the search engines keeps going? Why? Because, as somebody you all know said, it's rigged. So, bottom line is, by the grace of God, because of the prayers and fasting and spiritual warfare of God's people, because I believe that God knows who among his people are really his and who are faking it. And I believe that there's enough people in America today, a remnant, if you will, because the remnant is who listens to my program. I believe there's a remnant of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not love the lies, and they do not love the darkness, and they're not in bed with the whore of Babylon. And it is because of those people, the real spiritual heroes that may not get their credit on while we're here on earth, but they'll get their rewards in heaven. I want to thank each and every one of you who I consider and I believe the Lord considers to be a real hero, a real man or woman of God, as evidenced by you choose to do the right thing. And I want to thank you, all those of you that are listening, and it's most of you, all those of you that are listening, that seek the Lord, that are praying to the Lord, who are trying to obey the Lord, and you're engaged, you're in this spiritual battle, you understand what's going on and how vital the outcome is. I want to thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And I want to thank you because when I ask you to pray and ask the Lord what you can do to stand with Paul McGuire Ministries in terms of giving a donation, how much to give in terms of a contribution or a donation, that you really do ask the Lord. And you really do expect to hear an answer. And when God speaks to you about giving a donation and how much of a donation, when God speaks to you, I thank God for you because you obey him. That is why we're able to continue on when most people can't, because I'm not in bed with the whore of Babylon. And I want to thank all of you who are intercessory prayer warriors. And you just don't say, yeah, Paul, I'm praying for you, and then forget about it. But you actually pray for me, everybody involved in this ministry, and myself. You're a spiritual warrior. You're standing with us. And I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you who don't say it, don't advertise it. That's okay. But you see what they're doing. You understand their rigging game. And you are doing very, very important, very, very strategic things that are exposing their rigging game. They're things that you're doing that are counteracting their rigging game. And so this is allowing us to continue to proclaim the truth of the gospel and to proclaim truth so people can be set free. And I want to thank you for that. There's no other way to say it but to tell the truth. And that's my habit. We are in the greatest war in the history of mankind. Right now it's happening specifically in America, but also the entire world. And you have to understand this because the concept is so gargantuan, so giant, so phenomenal that it causes all of our brains to potentially stagger and reel in face of understanding the magnitude and truth of what is really happening in America right now. I mean, this is not a fantasy, nor is it a nightmare, nor is it some delusion. What I'm talking to you about is real. It's what's really happening. And God called us to be here for such a time as this. So we cannot give in to the temptation to yield to fear, nor can we give in to the temptation, nor do we have the luxury. I'm going to barf if I hear one more person, especially in Christian leadership, say over media, "I can't believe this is happening. We never thought this day would come. I can't believe that things are the way they are. I just can't believe it. We never thought." No. You never thought. You never thought the day was coming. You never thought this would happen. I hate to break it to you, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there were a remnant of us that were telling the truth, raw, tough, and hard, and in love as it needed to be told. And I don't have bitterness in my heart, but let me remind you, while you couldn't believe it was happening, we were doing everything in our power to wake you up and to alert you and to blow the shofar. We were doing everything we could with what we had to wake you up. And you fought us bitterly. You mocked us. You called us conspiracy theories and nuts and sneered at us and banned us and blocked us from certain venues. All right. That's done with. I forgave you. I don't have bitterness in my heart. But now, if we're going to move forward victoriously, we need to be a unified spiritual army. And we can't have half our army serving the powers of darkness and selling us out and financially benefiting by doing so, and the other half giving up their lives. So you, listening to the Paul McGuire report right now, you're faced with a responsibility that I'm faced with. You got two choices. You can pretend that you're not part of the problem. You can pretend that you're going to a church that's making a difference when in fact all they're doing is covering up the lie and they're getting a payoff somehow. But that's where you're going to church and you got a great rationalization for it. You can continue to do that, to be part of the problem, to not speak out, to not stand up for what is right. Yeah, you can continue to do that. Or you can do, and I only did it by the grace of God, because in my flesh I'm no better than any one of you. I know it and you know it. It's only by grace, unmerited favor. Or you can come to the place where you're sick of bowing to Baal and you're going to do the right thing. You're going to obey the Lord and you're going to be part of the solution and not the problem. And if we can unify over the truth of Jesus Christ, and if we can come together in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stand together and we can prevail in this spiritual battle. Now, the definition of prevail, I'll leave that up to the Lord. In any case, God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.